I'm Susie.
We have the pleasure of having Kate Griffiths, Whole Self Leadership Coach. And welcome. I just want to get started quickly. We've been talking. Now it's official. Go. Hi.
Lovely to be with you both. Thank you for inviting me on, Susie, and it's great to meet you, Denise. I really
appreciate it. It's so nice to actually have you and converse with you. So you're a coach. You I know you said you don't like labels. So I've just labeled you straight off the bat.
I'm not going to hold it against you. I think what I'm saying is that each word that we... I mean, Susie knows this because she's been on some of the things that groups I've run, but one of the things I talk about is conscious communication or conscious conversations. And what I'm talking about there, Denise, is really about the what's the meaning behind what we're saying, or what's our intention, really. And I think we can get caught up in words and then think, oh, well, that means you do this kind of work. So I'll give you an example, which is a bit against myself, but right back in 2011, when I was doing my first bits of work again on my own stuff, someone said, I used to do a lot then in those days, so 10 years ago, a lot of mindfulness. And I teach people how to, mindfulness practices and stuff like that. And so I was talking to someone and they said, oh, right, so you work with people who are really anxious and, really worried about life and really stressed out. And I can't remember what else they said. I said, no, I don't work with people like that. I work with normal people. Because at that point in time, as I say, it's against myself, and you might be absolutely shocked, it was like I couldn't in my mind, I was sort of, what you're saying, I'm working with people with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And yet, actually, because really, we can only work with the people that sits within our, in our bandwidth, if you know what I mean, what we're comfortable with. And since that time, I've expanded hugely what I work with, partly because I believe we're all, works in progress. So, along with doing the work that I do, I also keep on reading and developing and doing courses and programs myself to expand. And so then that means I can hold a broader church, so actually in the last 4 or 5 years, I've had people that have worked with me that have severe mental health issues, have been sectioned and stuff, or want to be sectioned. But I also think, and it's kind of interesting coming on the back of Mental Health Week, I think mental health is misnamed. I think it should be called emotional health, because a lot of the issues that people are facing are extreme, feelings that they don't know what to do with or how to be with those feelings, and they want someone to take that pain away. And that links back to what we were kind of talking about before we started recording, which I think sits within each of us, and that's the ego. So the ego I would describe as all the fear and pain that each one of us feels, and that might be on a daily basis or at certain points in life. And it's like, well, how do I deal with that? And it's never, on a level, it's never going to go away. So I suppose I'm always a bit sort of allergic to people saying, well, I've got this cure. Do this and you'll feel fine. Because you might feel really, really good for a period of time, but the likelihood is you're going to have those feelings again. And my mentor, a guy called Malcolm, talks about the elastic band. So it's just, so we're all looking up to the light and we want to, expand into the light, and that's great. But there's this bit at the bottom. It's like the ego, the bit that's holding us back. And if you expand too far, see, the elastic band will break. So we also have to take care of that bit, and that's the bit where it's about letting go and surrendering and going, okay, it is what it is. I haven't got this work, or I have got this work, or whatever it is that's going on in your world. And the more we can surrender to that, then the more we can expand at the other end, which is the bit that everyone loves doing. But it's also, I'd say to people, because I went to a talk yesterday on fear, and going, oh, you must, you know, harness your fear. And I'm sorry, but that's a load of old bullshit, really, in my humble opinion. There's not much humble about it, I realise now, but...
It's your truth. Get it out there.
No, I was thinking it's basically we all have fear, and we all have, you know, and it's sometimes it's what keeps us safe, and it's, you know, I think it's more about we need to befriend our fear and go, okay, what's this unease about? Why am I feeling this in my body? What are you trying to share with me? And also, I think as well, so because a lot of the work that I do is really spiritual, is that we go through really intense feelings when we're going through an initiation. So an initiation, if people aren't sure, is when you move from one level of consciousness to another. But it's not linear and it's not necessarily smooth. It can be really messy and painful. And there's something about honouring that, rather than, right, okay, best foot forward, get resilient. I mean, that's all a load of old rhubarb, really. And it's disservice to the process that we're going through. So if you think about, I liken it to the caterpillar. So if, the same thing about the higher self and the ego or the pain. You know, the caterpillar has to pull the back bit and then the front bit moves forward. It kind of, you know, it's that slow, steady pace. But ultimately, you know, when we connect to our soul self and we become our full actual, and for me that's working from the monad, which is another, you know, body that we have around us, then we become that butterfly, and that's the process. But actually that does mean there are times when we need to be in a cocoon, or, you know, to rest and go, okay, yeah, I'm going through that really tough time right now. But it's never the same, because we're never the same, you know, because we're always evolving, even if we feel we're at the same place. Like, you know, I had to recreate my business about 2 years ago when, as I said, I dissolved my business partnership with my then business partner. And of course I went through a huge amount of grief, and I've been there before, but you're never in the same place because you've got other things with you. So I think that's part of what I want to say, and I guess my kind of message is, it's about being real and raw, you know, showing up as who you really are, even if that is really emotional, even if it is messy, because that's true. It's not the sort of smooth, you know, put your face on approach.
Yeah, the thing you said about the transition from like stages and fear, and that really resonated with me over the last year. Obviously everyone's experienced some sort of fear. My fear has been fear of failing, and the fear of failing has felt different every time I've hit it, to the point where I don't recognize it. I'm like, oh, why is my whole body shaking? And then I'm like, oh, it's fear of failing, that's why I'm going through this. So it's really just transmuting everything, like in your whole being. And and I've always felt exactly the same as you in terms of like, what's the saying for fear?
Feel the fear and do it anyway.
No? False expectation. False evidence appearing real. There's that one. That's quite a common one.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but I guess feel the fear and do it anyway is one that I just used recently, because I was just, you know, I'm very much, you know, be aware of your emotions and then let it go and then move forward. Don't just use them to control your everyday life. Yeah. And I think the people, that's how folk navigate through life that way. So what for you has been your biggest fear, what or emotional challenge? Has it been failing, or has it been, you know, what has it been? I don't know.
I think it's different things at different times. You know, there isn't one, I don't know, I mean, there are key sort of turning points. So I suppose one, probably 2011, I was running a leadership development program for PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers, who I used to work for. And I thought I'd absolutely hit the jackpot. You know, here I was doing this part of this global team, working in Warsaw, you know, with senior directors who were going to be made partners to run local businesses wherever they came from, coaching some of those people involved in the facilitation. And we met some really, you know, key figures in the world at that time. And it felt like, wow, this is amazing. And then slowly, actually, because I spoke my truth, and we were asked to do feedback, and so we did sort of like in pairs on a line up. So I'd give feedback to one person and move down the line, you know, and so on. And, you know, we get to do it for each other and we're all part of this team. And this person didn't like what they heard, because there was a whole load of stuff that they hadn't been entirely truthful about. You know, there'd been issues with the previous global program that had been run. And so there was a lot of fear around, will this succeed, or will they pull the budget, and will it stop, you know, being run as a program? But they didn't share any of that with us. And so it was sort of, there was this tension and you could feel it. Because I always say energy has a smell. You know, you can feel when people are well-intentioned, or when, you know, there's an agenda, or, you know, all of these things, even if it's not said. And so we could feel this thing. And anyway, then slowly they kind of tried to shut me out, not involve me in certain things. And of course, I wasn't in the UK with my, you know, sort of other support around me. And so it got harder and harder. And then and then I basically started, there was copiously bleeding internally. So I was rushed to the women's hospital, and all sorts of things happened, and these people were yelling at me, and my mum was hearing what they were saying on the other end of the phone. You're going to have a hysterectomy. Oh my God, you know. And trying to manage my mum, trying to manage myself, the people that I was dealing with, and the team, because they wanted to know what was happening, and it was really quite private, obviously, and all of that. Eventually, my husband was flown out, and I didn't have to have a major, I had to have an operation, but not the full works. But it was a real turning point, because, and various other things happened as well, which were very unpleasant. And to some extent, I stood my ground. But I realised, actually, you know, however hard I try, I'm not meant to be in this organisation. You know, I can't make it into a spiritual place. And so that was the big message once I came through that pretty horrendous time. And then I made steps, took steps to, you know, leave, and I managed to manifest a redundancy package, and I left. But it wasn't without scars. I left, I had boils on my hands, which was stress-based eczema. And so, yeah, you know, that's why I took 6 months off, because I wanted to spend time with my then pretty young children. And also, you know, like we talked about, that cocoon healing stage before I went back out into the world again. But I think that's the same for everyone, whether they admit it or not. You know, we all have those moments or those times.
What do you think is going to be the change in the world, where people start discussing their emotions more, that the practice of being open, honest, connecting with the self is the norm?
I think with that, Denise, it's really up to each of us to do that. you know, in every moment and sort of in the way that we conduct ourselves and the way that we connect with other people. And, you know, I really like to think with what you were saying, Susie, about sowing seeds. You know, we sow seeds all the time. We don't know where necessarily they're going to, you know, what's going to grow or where that's going to take us. And I suppose it comes back to, I was thinking about when you were asking me before we came on, well, what's it all about? And for me, one of the things, and this is slightly changing, but it's related, it's like I believe that business can be the life force of society, but only if we change the way that we do business. And so I think it's all linked, you know. It's like, well, actually, if you don't feel up to appearing on something because you're having a moment or life is tough, then actually sharing that and saying that, you know, it's only when we start to have those conversations or, you know, asking for help and stuff like that. I think at the moment we're at, you know, you could say it's like the bifurcation of the universe. So we're at a choice point. You know, I don't know if you ever watched the film V for Vendetta. It was out in sort of the early noughties, as it were, if you can call it that.
I can't remember if I've seen it. I watch a lot of things and then forget.
Yeah, well, it's brilliant. If you can get it for free on YouTube if you hunt enough, and I would recommend watching it because there's some really good speeches in it, if you know what I mean. And in it, you know, the essence of it is that the UK has become an authoritarian state, and then as things unravel, what they find is that it all became possible because certain people created this virus and released it on the world, and then people were terrified so they could be coerced. And I leave it there.
Familiar. I wrote an article actually for our blog about freedom and choice. Yeah. And I know at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of resistance from me when we went into the first lockdown. It was just like, hang on, what is going on? Like, I didn't like the fact that I had no control.
Yeah.
And over this time, like recently found out that one of my divine source, like primary source energy is power. And that's part of that is freedom and choice. So no wonder it didn't sit right with me. And it kind of made me understand, well, like as a child, any sort of rules, regulations has always made me feel depressed in some way. And now obviously we're seeing a lot of people taking their own life, and I guess that the question is, like, we are the statement stroke question, you find a question there. I normally just talk. There's a question. That we are born free technically, but we are taught the confinements of life. And so how would you suggest we navigate through these times?
So I think it's sort of, I mean, everybody is vibrating at a particular frequency. You know, it's not necessarily the same frequency. So I would say that when you meet people that you go, yeah, I really like what you're saying and I like your energy, we'll connect with them and spend more time with them, because then there may be, I don't know, collaboration there or a way of support. And it's, I think also the other thing is often people are looking for a, you know, what's the solution or a big answer. And actually it's lots of little things, you know. So how are we, you know, if we think about grace, which is a sort of divine quality, I mean, how can anyone have grace? Well, you don't have grace. It comes, and it comes through being gracious. You know, so all the, if you think of like, if you had a ledger, I mean, I'm not an accountant, but you put down everything you do, good or bad, and every little thing, you know, then that's, you know, if in every moment we have a choice, do we come from this gracious space or an ungracious space? You know, what are we doing when the camera is off? You know, when nobody's watching? How kind are we then? And it's not just to other people, but to ourselves, you know, and honouring what it is that we need in any moment. And I think it's things like that. And it's not a sexy answer, because people want, you know, oh, well, just do this, you know. I don't think there is one answer. It's a mix of things. And I feel it's also about getting out of our heads, you know, which is why I don't like labels, you know, because immediately it's like, well, in the mental construct, that means that. And it's very hard, because we're part of the Aryan root race, which means it's the mental mind is paramount, really. And actually what we're being invited to do is to embody our truth and to come more into our bodies and to, you know, what feels good. What, and that's why I love working with colour, because it's visual, you know, people can see it and go, yeah, I like that, or I don't like that. But that allows them to connect to that essence in themselves, to their soul self. It's not really about, what's my favourite colour or that head thing. It's kind of like, in this moment, I really love that. And so then you can start to have a dialogue. And I feel that the more we build our intuitive knowingness, which comes from being within, you know, going within, and it's not really involving anybody else, not even a, you know, potential collaborator or business partner or what have you, then the more we'll see it emerge on the outside. But, you know, because often it's like, we were talking beforehand, weren't we, about community, and why do people want communities? Because it's a way of not having to market, perhaps, because you have, you know, your group, and then people buy what you're selling and what have you, and you don't have to go so much on, you know, social media or whatever. But actually, if you peel back, what's really that about? I haven't got enough, you know, or I need more, or I need to be more secure, or what? And it's like, well, actually, then we're not. And that moment, as soon as we feel that, that's the ego leading the way, as opposed to the divine of, yeah, I'm always cared for, I'm always looked after, you know, and I need to have that faith, even if it's not on the outside, that it's all there. And that's why I really like the, you probably know it, but the Hawaiian traditional.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I love you, thank you, or thank you, I love you, whichever way around you do it, but it doesn't matter. But when we do that in colour, and I think it's almost like a constant prayer, because it can be moment to moment, you know, and how we feel about things, or, you know, how we allow, you know, we have, what is it, 60,000 thoughts a day on average, but which are the ones that we identify with and think are more real than another one? I mean, is any of it real?
Exactly. And I just love what you're saying. Susie, do you want, I feel like you're going to say something and interrupt you.
Gosh, where do I start when you talk about being real and being raw and being open and honest? I love that stuff. I mean, that's what I like to think I live and breed. And I always think that there is no good or bad experience. It's an experience that you have to go through for your own growth, you know. So when we think about fear, where my thing about fear is, I can't remember what when it was when I was doing something and somebody said you create your own emotions.
Yeah.
I think that really blew me, because then it reminded me why I am so fearful of life. Because as a child, I went through so much trauma and abuse that That's why I have so much fear. It kind of, I look at fear in such a different way now. I really do, because I'm still sometimes running as this fearful child in my reality, because I didn't know no other way. And the biggest thing for me when I think about fear is having that feeling safe and being in control, you know. I think there's so much more to add to what you've both been saying, really, because, you know, even if you think about connection and communication, how important it is and how we love to connect. You know, that is life, isn't it? We love to connect. But then all this oneness stuff. So I'm really, I love raw, beautiful conversations like this, because it gets you to elaborate on your own truth and what you believe is true. And I do believe everybody is one. I don't believe anybody is here to be fixed or changed, you know. And if you choose to take that route, that's your choice. I don't believe anybody's. Sometimes, like you said earlier, Kate, why don't we just sit with that we're feeling right now, right in this moment? It just wants to be held in this loving awareness. It doesn't need anything else. Yet you say that to some people and it just blows a gasket, because I'm this, I'm that. And then you go back onto the ego, which is the self-concept of who we believe we are. And I think that our survival depends on how you're being approved by others. And we have this huge hiccup in society where we want to be seen as good. And then, you know, it's like seeing that it creates a blind spot that we don't even notice the badness that we have within us. And we've all experienced that too.
Yeah.
No question there.
I'm not sure where we're going with that one.
No, I just feel like these sort of conversations, and, you know, like at this sort of time, where we are at is such a divide. And we've been talking about it a lot more recently in the podcast. Yeah. But I really appreciate these spaces, because it's so nice to be able to connect with people who are women who feel the same way. And it just feels like we are connected and we are one more when we have these conversations than when we're dealing with people who don't believe that. And it's become a belief system. And I've always said that there are people like, oh, you know, I'm not really spiritual. You know, that's not my kind of thing. And it's, and okay, it can be seen as a choice, but that's like saying you're not a human. I choose to act like a monkey. So, you know, do you know what I'm saying? So it's a part of you that you're denying, in essence. It's not acknowledging your soul self. And so it's so nice to be able to speak to people who are on the same wavelength. So how do you deal, like, so you're talking about mental, like the people that you're dealing with, like with mental health issues, how do you get to that point where you can get them to connect to their soul being, to get them to understand? Because that's a lot of ego work that you have to work through, right? Or
no, not necessarily. No. I think we deal with the people that show up at our door, you know, or who are drawn to work with us,
they're ready for it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, when people aren't, then they'll find any excuse in the book. Now I've got too much on, or this is happening, or that's happening. And really, that's just an excuse. but equally, maybe the energy isn't right. You know, that there isn't a good enough fit to do that work. And, you know, you can't make anyone do anything at the end of the day. And I believe also that, you know, I'm not healing anyone. They are healing themselves, but I may be offering a space where they can see more of their own truth. or an alternative truth to whatever they're currently believing, you know, any of that really. So I think that's what I offer. And you know, I think it's less about the words almost. It's like a transmission. It's one of the reasons, I mean, all through lockdown I ran 4 series of 10 meditations each time, you know, so sets of meditations. And I offered them as pay from the heart, so people could pay what they could afford, you know, knowing that people had lost their jobs in some cases and, you know, been adversely affected by lockdown. And the point of all of that is that transmission is more powerful in a group, you know, because you can, there's more energy there. And, you know, it goes back to our thing that we were saying about, well, what is actually happening in society? What are people choosing to believe? You know, it's, you know, how much more TV has been watched through lockdown, for example? Or what's the drug of choice? You know, it might be TV, it might be alcohol, actual drugs, whatever. Because ultimately what we're all, you know, if you boil it right back, what are we all looking for is a form of connection. You know, even this is wonderful, because I work on my own. I have a family, so I have a husband and 2 daughters, but they're at school and work each day. So this is lovely, because it's connecting with somebody else, even if it's for an hour or whatever the length of time is. And so I think at our essence, what we're looking for are like-minded souls who we can have a conversation with. And the level at which that conversation is at depends on the energy frequency of the individuals, you know, because that's how it works. And in terms of, you know, one of the things I think that's interesting when you talk about, say, mental health, you know, I think sometimes, you know, one of the people I've worked with is quite a well-known artist, you know, is it part of the creative process? And you think about when you have maybe come up with a new offer, are people going to take it? How many people are? There's that creative tension, isn't there? And that, you know, because we don't know. And Susie, you talked about control and, you know, wanting to feel safe as a result of the stuff that you went through and as a child growing up. And I think that's all part of it, because the ego wants to maintain control. And actually the only truth there is that we don't control anything. And can we let go of that need? But actually that's easy to say and really hard to do, you know.
I think if people realise though that what happened in their childhood has created an awful lot as you're getting older. That's why we're, you know, if you could get to kids and let them know about their inner knowing, their inner guidance, because we lose it, don't we? Because if we don't see people do it on a regular basis. I mean, I just felt I was very sensitive as a child, but I'll never knock anything that's happened to me, because it's gave me the freedom to want to be, you know, I was on radio last year for 6 months talking about mental health, talking about domestic violence, talking about suicide. So it's gave me that. And I think, you know, I'm just so more accepting, I guess, of that at times I want to feel safe and in control. And that's what people need to know, that it's okay how they feel, because we've not walked their shoes. We've not been where they've been.
Oh, I mean, people can feel whatever they want or articulate it in any way they choose. I guess what I'm saying is the spiritual truth, as I understand it, and I may be completely wrong, is that, you know, we don't control anything. I mean, if you told me that, you know, the business partnership I was in, for example, was going to end 2 years ago, I was said, no, it's not, you know, we're committed to this for life. But, you know, it's the old adage, isn't it, that the only permanence is change. And I think, so the more we can surrender and sort of say, okay, life, you know, I don't know what you've got planned for me. But I'm here and I'm willing. And I think, you know, when you talk, Denise, about, you know, well, what's the new way, or how, I suppose it's, you know, if I think about it for myself, it's like, you know, in the old business model, it's like, well, I have this service and you're going to pay me this much, whether it's coaching or, you know, mentoring, whatever it is. And I think, you know, but actually what would happen if we didn't have money? You know, actually, then, you know, because a whole lot of the binds that people get into are, well, I need this much money in order to pay my rent, my mortgage, put food on the table, buy clothes, or whatever, you know, whatever the things are. And they're only just really basic needs. But if we had all of those needs met, or we didn't have to pay for them, you know, we all had different jobs that created a part of the whole, and then people could follow their purpose, would any of that matter? Would we live in a different way without sort of raping the land, you know? Because if you think about it, it's a bit like, do you know the Dr. Seuss book, The Lorax? So it's a children's book, but it's about, you know, in essence, this thing is, oh, look, there's this tree, and you can, and he sort of takes the, you know, like K-pop, but it's not K-pop, you know, whatever it is, and makes it into something that nobody needs, but it looks beautiful, so people start buying it. So then they chop down more of the trees to make more of these things that nobody needed. And then suddenly you've got this belching factory that's polluting the environment, no trees left because they've all been chopped down in order to make these things that nobody asked for in the first place.
I was just thinking as you were saying that about, because I do like a lot of gift sessions, or did, I don't have time for them now, but, and I feel like there's always got to be some sort of exchange in energy, and it doesn't have to be money, but I feel like sometimes when you do a gift session and you try and impact somebody, the least they could say is thank you. People don't really do that. You could, sometimes they say it, but then it's like, hang on, I've just spent 2 hours holding space of like some awful stuff that I've had experience as well. And people are so, I don't know, consumed by it, they don't realize how hard it is to actually sit through it as well.
I think, what I'm not advocating is that you don't get paid what you're worth, because I think that a lot of women particularly end up in that awful bind, you know, of like, well, nobody really knows the value of what I have. So if I just offer enough free sessions, I'll get a market, or I'll get a client base. But nobody, that doesn't really work, because, you know, ultimately you're not valuing yourself. But I guess I'm sort of trying to sort of take it up a level from there and sort of say, you know, here in the West, because we all live in the UK, you know, we have more than we need, really. Are we living our lives consciously, and what does that actually mean? You know, so Susie knows, for example, I'm setting up my first men's circle, and that starts next week. And in that, we've gifted 2 places to people from countries where they don't have the money to pay for this, you know. And ideally, we would have been organised enough to get somebody to sponsor them, you know, that would pay for that, and we haven't. So ultimately, we're taking a hit. But I suppose I believe that by offering this service and coming from that place, other good things will happen. I don't know what they are yet. And I'm not going in with that, you know, oh, well, I've done this, therefore, universe, give me something back either. But it felt like the right thing to do, because one of the people who's been gifted a place is black and gay, living in South Africa. It's a very difficult place, a very difficult thing to be in that sort of society. And that hasn't had an impact on their mental health. So I'm like, well, actually, I can do that, because I know that I'll be supported by the universe and something else will come in a different way. So it's not that it has to be that. I'm giving that as an example. I'm not saying everyone has to go out and do that, you know. I feel it's, I suppose it's that's what it means to live, you know, partly for me anyway, is what it means to live consciously. You know, I love the work that I do, and I, you know, and also knowing that sometimes that you need a space, that, you know, you don't want to be, you know, because as you rightly say, Denise, it requires a lot of energy to hold space for people that are perhaps in turmoil or what have you. And I guess that's why I like, as I say, to go back to, I like working with colour, because it works at that energetic level. So it's not me that's doing anything, but actually that connection with the, you know, with the bottle, with the colours, and working with that, you know, whether it's through massage or pouring it in your bath or what have you, or spraying stuff. But it can completely shift somebody's energy and their state. You know, so it's not NLP, but it's kind of linked to it. And it works on four different levels. So it's sort of, you know, the visual. You've got the auditory piece, which you'd have in any coaching or therapy session. But it's kinesthetic because you're holding a bottle or a spray. And it's olfactory because there's a smell. So it's working at lots of different levels. And I think, you know, it's back to your point, I think you made, Susie, a while back about awareness. So we're born whole and closest to our spiritual sort of truth. And then as we, our brains develops, so, you know, initially it's the physical, you know, learning to breathe, you know, obviously we breathe when we're born, but, you know, eating and all of that sort of stuff. Then we move from that, and, you know, we learn to walk and so on. And then it's sort of between 7 and 14, we develop our emotional brain, if you like. And then sort of roughly 14 to 21, we develop the intellectual, the mental space. And the more we develop, the further away we get from that, as you were saying, inner awareness or knowingness. So it's how do we get back to that? Because that's the truth of who we are. Now, obviously, some of that comes through conscious parenting. You know, there's lots of people that talk about that. And obviously, there's been a massive shift in the way people parent. And so that's having a change. You know, there's so many, if you look at things systemically, there's so much that needs to change at every level. You know, the way that we teach in schools. That's why I ran a program, you know, probably about 2 years ago now. I went into schools and ran a thing called Colour Rocks for 8 weeks, working with sort of some of the kids and so on, because I really wanted to make a difference and to help them to see that shift for themselves. You know, but it's not just mental health programs, it's also how are they taught. You know, if you're all at the moment, COVID have gone backwards because everyone's in a rows, looking at the front, looking at the teacher with the whiteboard or whatever. But actually, the more we can move towards a model of self-organized learning and say, well, yeah, actually, you're an intelligent being. What are you interested in? Let me help you to learn how to research and find out for yourself, because the world is changing so fast that anything we teach people now, once the time they've graduated, that won't be the truth anymore.
And what is the truth? And we were talking about this in the last podcast, that everything is a lie. But no, I totally agree with what you're saying, and the whole school system thing is something that I've really thought about and kind of lost. I don't want to say respect. I've kind of lost, I don't want to say hope either. Faith, I don't know. I just feel like I can see it doesn't work. It won't work for my son, who I'm trying to get him to connect with himself a lot more. And the more he's connected with himself, does he, like, other than reading and writing, does he really need to learn the way that he's learning? The way that they're teaching it, like,
how old is your son?
He's 7, so he's only small. So but I get him to really connect with himself, with his healing power, and I feel like he can see the world better than his own teacher. And he'll be like, oh, mummy, such and such said this, and, you know, that's so, like, the way that everyone else is thinking and blah, blah, blah. Like, so he can see it. So I definitely, that kind of resonates with me, what you're saying. So I guess just as a final thought, how, what colors or what sort of advice would you give to release the energy of fear through color or through smell? Or
it's individual. So if you had a question, or, you know, we could look, you know, the way I do it is by looking at somebody's color DNA blueprint. So that's based on their date of birth. And then I'd look and sort of see what blocks they've come in with, and therefore what they need to shift in this lifetime. So we could have a quick look at yours if you want.
Yeah, okay.
What's your full date of birth?
22/10/81.
19. Okay. So if I was working, so just looking at that, I would say that you have in your colour DNA blueprint, you've got the colour yellow, which is the colour we link to or associate with fear and sort of that, you know, almost reactive brains, you know, at times. And so it's kind of like, there's not a lot of it, but it's in there. And that's where you and I connect, because I have it as well. And so it's kind of like working with that is the way through. So it's then kind of doing that thing, going, the longest journey we ever do, as we know, is from the head to the heart. And so probably there's a part of you that you know all of that, because that's partly probably what you teach. I don't know what you teach. And yet there's a part of you that is still quite, you know, has that real connection to the headspace, and so you really wrestle with it at times. And so that's part of what's going on. And also you're really strong, which is a blessing and a curse, because sometimes you're too strong-willed to the point that you can be a bit stubborn, yeah. I would say. And there's a lot more. That's just a start. Yeah. That's just one of the bottles in your system. So that's what I do, is I look at people's colours and kind of can see what's, you know, the positives and perhaps what's holding them back. And as you work with each bottle and each colour, then you can shift things and shift your energy. And so then you can be much more in flow, which ultimately is what we all want. I mean, we're always in flow, but sometimes we forget that, you know, because of what's going on in our heads.
And so, yeah, do you suggest that yellow is something I have around the house, or I, like, how does one release it through the colour process?
Well, you would work with the bottle. So you would basically, the way, I mean, because we're probably coming to an end now, but, you know, if we were doing a session, you might have a question or an issue, or, you know, it might be around fear, or it might be around something else, and we would either look at your, that colour DNA. I always, well, when I'm working with my paid clients, I always go through their colour DNA blueprint. When I always give people who come to me a taste, but it's usually not that bit, you know, it might be like, you tell me what an issue is you've got at the minute, and we'll explore that through colour and hopefully give you some insights. But essentially you would then say, it's not this one, but you go, oh yeah, I love that bottle. You'd buy the bottle, you could either massage it onto your skin, because it's purely oil, water and natural vegetable dyes with a few essential oils. Or like Susie did, you might get a spritzer. So this is the one Susie's got, which is called Earth, which also has the word heart, if you rechange the letters around. And this is one of my favourites at the moment, which has kind of got a bit of gold in it. And it's got fig essence, so it's beautiful. But it's whatever you end up being drawn to. And I work with cards as well, like oracle cards, so that can help give me an insight into things. So that's kind of how I work. But I like it because it's fun as well. And I think sometimes personal development can be a bit earnest and serious. So yes, we can really deal with some deep stuff, but hopefully we can do it in a light touch way. Because ultimately, you know, what people have said about colour is, yes, it's deep, but it's also a really positive fate, you know, it's kind of like, what's your potential? How do you get to being more of yourself, remembering who you are really?
And so that's and I, Kate, I just want to say, touching on that, because I love the beautiful smell, that real true essence. It's not, it's so earthy, like you say. So I've got my bottle and I just spray, I think there was a little note to spray above my head. So it lets, yeah. get, so I do it first thing in the morning. I know I'm safe and grounded. Yeah. And I can't remember why I'd, we were talking or something. And then all of a sudden, I think I'd been asleep and then I woke up and I thought I'll get in touch with Kate because I'm not feeling safe. And I was not feeling safe in my body. It wasn't anything else. And you suggested, yeah. Is it amber?
It's copper. It's called copper.
Oh.
But
right.
I don't know why you meet, why you say
amber. Yeah.
Quickly, Denise, if you share with me something that's on your mind, or well, what's the, or put it another way, what's the colour? Forgetting everything, if that, when you tune in, just close your eyes and then take a couple of soft belly breaths. So just really connect into yourself. And as you breathe in, say soft. As you breathe out, belly. And notice yourself relaxing all the way up the spine where our vagus nerve is. Feel the tension going out of the shoulders and the head. And when you feel really relaxed, just nod your head.
I feel like my heart rate has kind of gone up.
Okay. Is that a good thing or a bit anxious?
Yeah, I don't feel anxious, but my heart is like...
Okay. So just acknowledge that and say thanks very much. And really feeling in, feel softness. There's nothing to do here. Everything is just perfect as it is right now. Get to that place. Or is your heart still...
No, but it's better.
And what's the first number or first two or three numbers that come into your head from between 1 and 87?
Well, 1 was the first.
Great.
And then when you said 87, that was something that flashed up as well.
Well, it's probably the power of suggestion.
Yes.
Come back and so let me just see, is it that one?
My number is 6 as well.
6, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I'm going to just show you a few things and then you can tell me which you're most drawn to. Appreciate that people watching or listening to the podcast obviously won't be able to see this. Just let me know which bottle, which colour resonates most. There's that one. That one. That one, that one, and that one.
So when I went into it, I was thinking yellow, the green. So what was the second one that you showed?
This one?
Yeah, and purple, yeah.
Yellow, green and purple.
Yeah, but then I did like the other ones. I liked all of them.
Well, no, they're all Great. I mean, yellows. So I got this spritzer as well because the numbers relate to the numbers on the bottle. So
Nice.
that's like the yellow bottle in a spray form.
Yeah.
The way that you work with the bottles is you either massage them onto your skin or you have a bath and pour the whole thing into the bath, so like a bath oil. And that's the sun bottle. Yeah, it's funny. Interestingly, this bottle is actually in your soul path. So, I mean, if we were working together, I'd be interested in your relationship with your mum, because that's what that's about. For example, we could go into that a lot deeper than we're going to do on this. If you're interested, come back. And so. And interestingly, if you like the purple, that's dad. So yeah.
That's more troubled.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like that. There's where we've worked, because it's kind of like back to what Susie was almost intimating a while back. You know, what happens in our childhood, although it doesn't define us, if we never look at all of that stuff and. Even if we have, and I think this is the danger, because you know a lot of my clients are coaches and people doing this work, you know, because it's like, of course you've done some of this work because you wouldn't be able to offer it to other people, as we said right at the beginning. But there's layers and layers and layers, and I think what I'm offering is that opportunity to go to a much deeper place. And you know, often what people say to me is, yeah, I hold a really safe space, whether it's one-on-one or, you know, with couples or groups or what have you, because I do, you know, a range of different things. And yeah, you know, the positive thing of that lovely yellow bottle, it's called the sun bottle. It's, well, think about when you have, feel sun on your face, it's wonderful, warm, joy. And that's the positive essence of that bottle, but it's also can be that frenetic mental energy and with fear underneath it, just you know, almost keeping us going. And some people almost deliberately keep that pressure on in order to perform to that level. You know, well, it's the only thing that's going to make me, you know, keep doing my podcast and making this up or do whatever it is that I need to do. But actually, that's not the truth of it. And it when it runs us, it's exhausting, and we end up in a depleted place.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I will put in the description all your details so anyone listening that wants to have like a color session or experience your essence in its truest form, then they can get in touch with you. But thank you so much for your time and energy, and I want to speak to you later.
It's been a real delight to be with you, and a real,
Are you on Instagram or is it LinkedIn that you guys are?
I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram. I don't tend to do much on Facebook, although I have a Facebook, you know, profile. So,
Yeah. I think everyone's getting fed up of Facebook,
yeah, no, it's not great. So, I'll make sure Susie has those links, and if you need anything else, just let me know.
Okay, thank you
Thank
so
you so much for coming on, Kate.
Take
Bye.
care. Speaking again. Bye now. Bye.
Bye.